Come on, man. Come on, man. I love y'all. I want to thank Ocean City Convention and Carol for allowing me to the privilege of carrying this life-saving message. I'm so overwhelmed. Because clean, we face the world together. That's what the book says. It says clean, we face the world together. And yo, I'm from Atlanta, and I thought we did it big. Yo, this is like the main meeting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, y'all got as many people in here as we almost got at the main meeting in Atlanta. And I'm grateful. I was thinking about the people that cleared the way for me. You know, the book says that some of us must die that others can live. And I've heard people say it in a negative way. And I didn't see it that way, because the people that I know who died, they died clean. So when you hear that some of us must die so others can live, it's not on the negative. From my perspective, Matthew, it's not on the negative perspective. It's that those that went ahead of me, they died clean, and they said, I'm dying with cancer, I'm dying with AIDS, I'm dying, but I'm not using so that you can live. See, because clean, we face the world together, and you probably wondering what this guy from Atlanta doing up here, you know, what's his story, you know what I mean, but you're about to hear it. September 4th, 1994, I wanted to stop using, and I was stuck, and everything on the inside of me was telling me, get up! And my body wouldn't move. I had that stem in my hand. I had pushed and broke the stem so much, man, my lip was burnt up, my hands was chapped up, my hands was cut up, and I was still... I couldn't stop. Man, I wanted to stop. I couldn't stop on my own, man. I didn't want to be a junkie, man. I wanted to stop using, and I couldn't. My uncle had come to town, and he said, well, I'm from Nigeria originally. My uncle had come to town, and he said, you did. I heard you're back in school. How about I give you some pocket change? I said, Uncle, that would be nice of you. He said, how is 1,000 US dollars for you? I said, that'd be just fine, Uncle. And he started counting that money. 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600. And between the 7 and the 8, the disease said, when he gets done, tell him you gotta go. Now, this before I met y'all. I think the topic is your mouth can say anything, but your behavior don't lie. I mean, I started off with my first lie. I said, yes, sir, Uncle, I am in school. Because I knew I was going to get that money. And I got that $1,000, and I told him, I got to go study for a test. He said, oh, very good, you did. Go. So I show up at the trap, right? Now, I don't know, maybe none of y'all had people-pleasing issues or you wanted to have friends, so I was so green and so naive. I walked into the dope house and told everybody I got $1,000. Everybody getting high on me. You already know what came next, right? So the girls, I wish I could tell you I had it going. I was a little spoiled rich kid from East Lansing, Michigan. I ain't grow up on the street. I love to tell you I was knocking niggas out and taking their money. That's another lie. I told that one too. So they said, we gonna take you to the back room. I said, the back room. Y'all know what goes on in the back room. And they was rubbing on me and woo, 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 woo. And as soon as my pants hit the ground, the lights came on and said, motherfucker, you gotta get the fuck out of here. And they put me out, my $1,000 was gone. So I went, got me a fifth of Wild Irish Rose, and I chucked that shit down. And see, I was a fighter, right? I was a fighter, but that dope had me fucked up. And once I got that liquid courage, the fight was back on. You know what I'm talking about? The fight was right back on. So I knocked at the door, and the dope boy answered the door with a knife, and the knife was about that long, about that thick. And I hit him, and we fell. And the whole time, he was stabbing. And they set me out on a chair to die. And the blood, it flowed out of my side 20 feet in a circle. And the neighbor saw and they called the ambulance. They rushed me to Grady Hospital. I flatlined. They resuscitated me. As soon as I came back to conscious, guess who the first person was who came to visit me? In Atlanta, we call the disease the general. The general said, you hid $20 in your sock. Help! 2, 3, 4 months! I start pulling the motherfucker. Intravenous, all that shit out. I was pulling shit off. And got to marching back to the same. With the hospital booty out gown on. Down Peachtree Street. Now, you've been to Peachtree is the main street. 4 p.m. I'm marching. You know that I got some money, walk that long. Knocked right back at the dope man house. He said, man, what the fuck wrong with you, crazy motherfucker? I said, I don't need but one more. I'm just saying. Insanity's repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So I got paranoid and they put me out again. Yeah, I fucking sucked at getting high. It was horrible. I mean, So that was September 4th. September 5th, I found myself in a treatment center. God did for me what I found impossible to do for myself. So I showed up in my first meeting. I was skeptical all these folks hugging me and shit. I ain't understand what the fuck these niggas hugging me for. I don't like that shit. I don't play that shit. You know what I mean? Okay, you guys won't like that. So I sat in the back of the meeting and I was skeptical. You feel me? I was skeptical. And I got a Morehouse education. I'm intelligent, all that. And the little old man with a fifth grade education raised his hand. He said, if you don't pick up, you won't get high. I said, are you kidding? Are you fucking kidding? I said, oh, these motherfuckers are up to something. Yeah. So I moved up a little bit. Next meeting, and they said, one's too many, and a thousand's never enough, and if you're anything like me, you were the person who kept trying to do one and take the $10 and leave the $140 at home and all that shit. And so I said, man, these guys is on to something. And so I had gotten 3 days, and then I had gotten 4 days, and then it was a bunch of women. It was a bunch of women in Atlanta, and they didn't want nothing from me. These was women that had some significant clean time. They had 5 years, 8 years, 7 years. And they always used to call me in the front of the room every time they had a meeting, and they just rub on me and was caressing. And, you know, I'm from Africa. We don't do all that nurturing shit. You know what I mean? And I didn't know that God was putting back in me what was missing.
Ah, man, come on, man.
So I got me a week, and I got me 2 weeks, and I forgot to tell you guys. I came in with two diseases. I came in with addiction and the know-it-alls. So I was in there trying to tell them motherfuckers how they need to run their program. And they said, you can run your own motherfucking program outside of here. You gotta go. With 30 days clean. But it was already too late. Because I was sitting in a meeting and I heard them say that our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live, that our message is hope and the promise of freedom. Then they said, never have we seen a person relapse who lives this Narcotics Anonymous program.
Yes.
So I got 30 days. I got 60 days. Ooh, honey, I'm going to be transparent. So, things had started coming back. The guys understand. So, things that weren't working started working again, and I was like, wow. And, I know, this is NA though, right? I don't have to be PG, do I? We ain't PG in Atlanta. And so I got some. And I have been using it for 5 or 10 years and ain't never getting none. I said, shit, this is easy, motherfucking easy choice. I'm staying clean. I'm getting some. Shit, me. I said, man, y'all can get high as long as y'all want. I said, shit. Hello? Y'all said whatever it takes, right? Keep coming back. Y'all said keep coming. That helped. So, I mean, just human. I mean, you know. So I got a year and started working, and life was good. And I was one of those addicts who felt like if I get back in the corporate arena and, you know, get a level of success in society, I'll be good. And so I got a job at MCI, and I was corporate again, and I was Mr. MCI, and I'm corporate. And I would ride by the meeting snubbing motherfuckers. my motherfucking BMW. Beep, beep, hey guys, what's going on? Going to work.
Go ahead.
Prosperity will bring people, but adversity will show you who your friends are. I had a motherfucking fan club when I had that Beamer working at MCI. Girl, he fine, girl. He got that money, girl. He working good and shit, getting all kind of pussy. They fired my ass. I got broke. Oh, girl, he used to be. Oh, I didn't know. Leave that nigga alone. They ain't got numbers in motherfucking clean time. Girl, don't fuck with him. Yeah, that's good. He used to be. He used to have all that shit. The book says, it starts out with often. Often we have to face some sort of crisis, such as death of a loved one, financial difficulties, or divorce. These are the realities of life, and just because we get clean, it doesn't stop coming. So, hey boo, excuse me, honey. Can you find a seat, honey? You're welcome.
Thank you.
I ain't scared. See, I ain't scared of none of y'all. We'll have some more than this goddamn meat. I shouldn't have said goddamn, but you know. I'm still wrong. So where was I, y'all? I got distracted. Somebody help me out. Where were we? Huh? Adversity, oh yeah, Honey, so what happened is, it was like a snowball effect, and I had to get to a meeting, and the people, because I started out by saying, clean, we face the world together. And I don't know if y'all really understand what I'm saying, but the power was always in the we, and it was never in the me, because if I kept feeding me, then I kept feeding the disease, because the disease and I were one. So God had to come up with a program where he put the power in we. See, it says our common welfare should come first, that personal recovery depends. You can't even do step one by your motherfucking self. We admit it. We can't believe. We turn. We made a searching. We admit it to God, ourselves, and the other human beings. We ask God to remove our character defects. We humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. We made a list. When we could make amends. So that's where I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right there, self-discipline, because that's what we need to talk about. I'm talking about self-discipline, because self-discipline is a chief spiritual principle in the ninth step. Of course, you've got brotherly love, but then you also talk about self-discipline. And so what happens is, the book says when we lied, stole, and cheated, we degraded ourselves in our own eyes. Honey, it wasn't never what you thought about me that made me feel bad about myself. It's what the fuck I knew about my motherfucking trifling ass that made me feel the way I motherfucking felt. So I got here and y'all started saying, just be honest, honey. Because what's truly needed for recovery is a personality change. What's truly needed for recovery is a personality change. What's truly needed for recovery. So when I take the actions that are indicated in the steps, the results are a change in my personality. Because what's truly needed for recovery is a personality change. So when I was getting ready to lie, they said, well, why don't you practice this thing called honesty? See, motherfucker tell you any motherfucking thing. Motherfucker tell you anything. But watch what they do. Because when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Because you got to understand, my first addiction was fantasy. Bitch, you tell me any motherfucker, oh yeah, boo. Oh, so you canceled on me 3 times in a row? You love me though? Yeah, I know. I love you, honey. Denial, that motherfucker, denial run deep now. Motherfucker tell you any motherfucking thing. My mouth to fix his mouth to tell you anything. And we gotta be disciplined people, man. We gotta be vigilant, man. Because disease ain't outside doing no pushes. I don't know where y'all got that dumbass shit from. That motherfucker came in the meeting with me. He heard the reading too. Fuck you talking about that motherfucker. He's out there doing push-ups, smarties. Man, I don't know what kind of disease you got. That motherfucker sits right up in here because it's through NA that I get a better perspective. It's my thinking. We used to have them signs that the thinking was upside down. Think, because the thinking was all upside down, man. What's my time look like, B?
Five minutes.
Oh, jeez.
Damn, 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. So, I just came up here, man, to carry the message, man, and say, when at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either going as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions of death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those that are addicted today, man, are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts, and it is available to us all. My name's Umar. Thank you.